Hello everyone and welcome to the 35th episode of the Connectivity Podcast. I'm Mattias Fridström and I've spent the last 25 years inside the connectivity community. In this pod, we invite guests to deep dive into one or many subjects to simply learn more about connectivity. So in this 35th episode, I'm extremely happy to have Katsuyasu Toyama from the JP Knapp with me. Okay, so welcome, Toyama-san. Could you just tell us a bit about who you are?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Maritz. So my name is Katsuyasu Toyama. I'm now working for JP Knapp as a COO. The JP Knapp is the largest internet exchange in Japan. Yeah, so this is my business side. And also, I worked as a volunteer, like a chairperson of APIX, the Association of Internet Exchange Providers in Asia-Pacific region. And also, I work as a board member of Peering Asia, or Global Peering Forum, which are open and neutral events for interconnection and peering of networks.
All right. That sounds super interesting. There's a lot of questions I have around that. So, okay, you've been a long time. Just start with that. You've been a long time in the internet business. You know, how did you end up there? You know, what happened in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So I've been involved in the internet business almost 30 years. Wow. 30 years in the NTT Group, the Japanese telco. Since the very early stage that the internet becomes commercial service in Japan. And this during 30 years, I worked for NTT's big eyeballs called OCN, and also NTT's global IP transit services like called JIM. But my most involved business is in JP Knapp, the internet exchange in Japan. And I was the first designer of the network of the JP Knapp. So I worked for the JP Knapp from the beginning.
Okay, very, very interesting. That's really good. So let's go into that. For people that doesn't know JP Knapp, could you just explain what JP Knapp is doing?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the JP Knapp is an internet exchange in Japan and established in 2001 in Tokyo. And maybe you know the Tokyo is in the capital city, and the second largest city is in Osaka. So we made another internet exchange, JP Knapp Osaka, in 2002, the next year of the Tokyo. And currently, we are operating the JP Knapp in four cities in Japan, Tokyo, Osaka, and Fukuoka and Sendai. Yep. And currently, we have in the total peak traffic is 5.5 terabits. So comparing to the European internet exchanges, the big one, very close to the big one, I believe. And the traffic in Japan, and especially the JP Knapp traffic, it increases the 30 to 40% every year. Wow. And this trend still continues. Yeah. And our customers are not only the Japanese network, but also international ones like in the hyperscalers from US and Europe, and national carriers and the content or cloud providers in Asia. Currently now, approximately 40% of our customers are non-Japanese networks. So not only the Japanese traffic, but also international traffic are exchanged in the JP Knapp. So currently we have 200 more customers as a JP Knapp.
Wow, that's very impressive. You know, if you would say the ratio between Japanese traffic and international traffic in the peering exchange, how would you say that? Is it mostly Japanese traffic or is it a lot international?
Oh, yeah. So that did, yeah. So the separating the Japanese and the traffic isn't very difficult. Okay. Yeah, because a lot of traffic is coming from the hyperscaler like in Google or Amazon or Microsoft, Akamai, such kind of the players. Yeah, that traffic occupies a very large portion, maybe 20 or 30%. So that can be said as an international traffic,
but okay. Yeah.
Well, it's very difficult to say which one is in the domestic or.
Okay, yeah. No, I fully understand that. You said you had seen 30 to 40% growth every year. Do you foresee that going forward as well? Is that for 2023 and 2024 as well? Do you still see traffic growth in Japan?
Yeah, still the traffic increasing. Yeah. So recently, the Japanese fiber to the home started a 10 gig connection to the home. And not so many at this point of time, but then gradually increasing the number of the subscribers of the 10 gig fiber to the home. Okay. So, and also for the providing side, recently, like very big sports game, like World Cup soccer or World Baseball Classic, such kind of the sports event started to broadcasting on the internet. Yeah, that drives that traffic, internet traffic, and more and more. So I believe the traffic trend continues. In the near future, in this 5 or 6 years.
Okay, but that's really good. That's good for everyone who's living on the internet and would like to see traffic growth. What would you say would be the biggest challenge you have in JPNAP? You know, what are you working on the next coming years?
So of course, as I mentioned, the traffic is increasing. That we need more bigger switches to handle the such kind of big traffic. Yeah, but then these days, maybe the Japanese yen becomes cheaper. We need to pay more money to buy the switches from the abroad. Yeah, so that is one issue. But then we will all try to bring in bigger switches. And also, we already started to provide a 400 gig connection to the customers.
Okay.
So we are getting ready to handle the much more traffic. But then cost-wise, we're having the tough times from now.
Yeah, no, I fully understand that. The cost is a problem for everyone, really. Your role as COO, what does that really include? What is it that you do on a daily basis?
Yeah. So basically, the daily operation, the technical side and also a selling side is doing our colleagues. So I'm just watching the current the situation and give some advices to them and also making the strategies for the future. Of course, still the competition in Japan is very hard. So we need to increase more sales.
Yeah.
and in order to do that, we need more customers. So how to explore and getting the more customers. And to get the new customers, we need some kind of strategy. So I'm making strategies with the colleagues and doing the actions. That is my daily job.
All right. That's interesting. You said you're in four locations currently. Do you have any plans to be in more locations going forward? Or is four enough? Do you cover the entire Japan with those four locations?
Yeah. So, of course, as you know, that Japan is slightly delayed to digital or digitalization these 2 decades. But then movement to more digitalization, our society is becoming more and more. So that's the reason we made 2 suburban cities in the 2 suburban cities about the JPNAP one. So we gradually increased the internet exchange in Japan as well. But also we need to expand our footprint to outside Japan.
Okay.
Because we are NTT Group's company, so we would like to collaborate with the NTT and making our the JPNAP overseas one to populate in other countries in the globally.
Okay.
Yeah, that is my plan.
When do you think this is going to happen?
Yeah, so maybe, this is a very confidential.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But then my plan is in a year or two, we would like to have more internet exchanges outside Japan.
Okay. Yeah. But that's really interesting. Very interesting. Okay. You also said that you'd been the chairperson in APEX. Could you just explain for people what APEX is?
Yep. So APEX, or we call it APIX, is an Internet Exchanges Associations.
Okay.
Or in the Asia Pacific region. So currently we have 38 members from 90 countries in APAC. Yeah, so this is an a kind of a community or place for APAC internet exchange providers to exchange their the knowledge and experiences. Yeah, like in best practices. Okay.
Yeah.
And I took an initiative to make this association in 12 years ago.
Okay.
That reason, at that time, the internet exchange in APAC countries also gradually increasing, but there are no place, no big place to exchange their experiences and the knowledges. So I thought it would be necessary. So I made an association. And at the beginning, only the 10 members, but in approximately 12 years, that associations grow and currently 38 members. Yeah, so becomes a bigger and bigger.
Yeah, okay. And I guess you then interact with other organizations in other parts of the world to draw conclusions and help each other and so on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you see for the future for APIX? Is that an important association, or is everyone now perfect in peering and you don't need to talk about that anymore?
Yeah. So, of course, at the APAC regions, many networks exist. They are trying to reduce the cost. So one of the way to reduce the cost is to utilize an internet exchange and peers, more peers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so not only the big cities in the not only the big cities in the APAC countries, but also the suburban cities, they started to make an internet exchange in some cities. We are now started to support programs, such kind of an newly grown or from now to establish the new internet exchanges. Yeah, we are going to support from the operational or technical side, but also financial side. Okay. And we can have a program to support to make a new internet exchange in some countries. Yeah. So that is a collaboration with an APNIC and APNIC Foundation and ISOC. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we are collaborating to support a new internet exchange in APAC region.
Okay, but that's impressive. That's really, really good. Let's go back to the Japanese market then. You said in the beginning that the Japanese market is very competitive. How would you describe the Japanese internet market today? Are there a lot of players or a few players or big players, small players?
Yeah, so for the network, it's the eyeball networks.
Yep.
In Japan, there are hundreds of eyeball networks.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are competing with each other. And currently, so according to the competition, as I mentioned, currently the biggest pipe is in 10 gig, but commonly 1 gig fiber to the home isn't very common. The 1 gig price is around $30 per month.
Wow.
And yeah, and of course, not only the fixed lines, fiber to the home, but in the mobile becomes very penetrated in Japan. So currently, the 4G and 5G mobile services around Japan, and four mobile operators exist in Japan.
Mm.
And they are also competing with each other. And also the MVNO, tens of an MVNO playing the business, doing the business in this field. So currently, mainly the 4 gig and the 5 gig mobile service is around $50 per month.
Mm.
And the MVNO is offering much cheaper price for 1 month. So according to the many ISPs and IBO networks, the competition is in the very competition happens.
Yeah.
So that is in a very good situation for the Japanese subscribers. And as well, the internet exchange business is the same.
Yeah.
So there are the commercial four internet exchange in Japan, and we are competing with each other. Yeah, so that's also the good for the customer, like an ISP or cable TV company content, the CDN and clouds, both in, from domestic and international, and they are getting a benefit in the competitive environment. On the other hand, we are very a tough time.
Yeah, of
to
course.
Compete with each other, but that is the least we are thinking to make a reasonable infrastructure and making differentiated services to other internet exchanges. So that is very good side of the competition.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a very competitive market. With if you have four mobile operators and a lot of MVNOs and then more than 100 ISPs, then yeah, very, very tough competition on the Japanese market.
Yeah.
Do you see the traffic? Is the traffic growing in the market? Are people consuming more traffic or is it fairly stable?
Yeah, I think so. So the fiber to the home, the fixed line, is in unlimited. So I mean that in the flat rate, so the traffic can be sent and receive the subscribers much more from comparing to now and more.
Yeah.
And also, the mobile operators offer a bigger the volume of the traffic. The traffic will increase, as I mentioned, from now more and more, I think, in the Japanese market.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's impressive. You talked about networks, and there's a lot of networks in Japan. We also know that Japan has had some natural disasters in the past, and that sort of it must be very tough to live with the knowledge of that, of these things that could happen. You know, how do you as a Japanese provider protect yourself from these natural disasters?
Yeah, so basically, as you mentioned, the Japanese networks know that the Japan is suffer earthquakes and big disasters always. So the almost all the networks have a redundant and reliable network.
Okay.
So they have now the dual two different routes to between the two cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in their POPs, they have redundant routers and switches. So they're always thinking about redundancy and reliability.
Yeah.
So. So that is in the common culture or the policy in the Japanese network.
Yeah.
So that is in the good point. Yeah. But in the big earthquakes, like in 12 years ago, we had in the very, very big earthquake. At the time, almost all the redundant route has been cut.
So,
in that case, Japanese people and the Japanese network operators collaborate with each other in the emergency situation.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes swapping their capacity between them for the emergency.
Okay.
And try to recover from the disasters.
Okay. Oh, but that's impressive. Are there any different ways when you're building a data center where you will have your switches for the JPNAP? Is there a difference how you build those buildings compared to the rest of us in the world? Or are you sort of building them with the thinking of that an earthquake could take down the building? Are there things you can do here to prevent buildings from getting destroyed?
Oh, yeah. That is a big challenging point.
Yeah.
So, currently, to tell the truth, we have several POPs.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Tokyo, we have nine POPs, data centers. We have POPs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the network topology isn't We have, as I mentioned, we have two redundant switches, but sometimes, the redundant switches are the hub switches is in the same data center.
Okay.
And of course, the very big earthquakes. If that the building is in the broken, in that case we stop or to exchanging the traffic. So now we are planning to have our hub switches, core switches, into the two different buildings. So that is one way to get more redundancy in our network.
That's smart. I think that's really smart. I guess power is another big thing in Japan. You know, how do you get power to the buildings and so on? Is that also very redundant, the way you build?
So usually the newly built data centers have usually the two power sources from the different generation. The power stations. From the different route. So from the electric power perspective, they made the data center is redundant for electric power. But some old data centers maybe have only the one powers. Then they have usually the generator and the batteries, and to support 48 hours or 72 hours to using the generator and the oil and providing the powers out to the data center.
Okay, but that sounds good. That sounds like you're prepared. Really good. In the next episode, we will continue to talk to Katsuyasu Toyama. So stay tuned until next time. Please also remember the Twitter handle ConnectivityPod for updates.